And 107.5 FM, W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Democrats continuing to debate the future of their presidential ticket and whether President Biden should stay atop it. Last night, the president held a critical solo news conference that eased questions for some but raised more concerns for others.
Biden mixing up his own vice president and his rival.
Look, I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she was not qualified to be president.
Trump seizing on that moment, writing, "Great job, Joe." But Biden firing back, "Yes, I know the difference. One's a prosecutor and the other's a felon."
ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce. A new cancer report finds nearly half of all cases and related deaths are linked with lifestyle choices, things like smoking, physical inactivity, and alcohol use. AT&T Wireless is a third-party cloud platform, was targeted by hackers in April. Records on customer phone calls and text messages taken, but the company says the information of them was not compromised. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans are arriving in Milwaukee for next week's GOP National Convention. Protesters will be there, too. State Party Chair Brian Schimming predicts things will stay peaceful.
I've spent a lot of time at the protest rodeo, and I feel pretty well that it'll be. But if we have some surprises, we're counting on local law enforcement to deal with it, and we expect that they will.
Civic Media News will be at the convention, bringing you coverage throughout the week over the air and online. Conservative State Supreme Court Justice Brad Schimmel raised close to $600,000 over the last 6 months. Liberal Susan Crawford raised a little more than $460,000 since she got into the race last month. The candidate shared those numbers with WISP Politics. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Another new housing project broke ground in Duluth this week. The Duluth HRA's Harbor Highlands project plans to bring two phases of housing projects to the area to include more senior, affordable, and mixed housing for residents. According to a WDIO report, when completed, the project will feature 70 housing units for seniors, with an additional 40 units of family housing planned next year. City officials say a lack of affordable housing is one of the most important issues residents of the area have shared with them. The Duluth Airport Authority held a ribbon-cutting ceremony for their new $2.6 million terminal at Sky Harbor Airport on Wednesday. Duluth officials say the Sky Harbor Airport accommodates small land and seaplanes, with over 13,000 flights taking off from the airport each year. The new terminal upgrades the airport to meet all floodplain and accessibility requirements and features a new pilot lounge, updated flight planning room, and an outdoor patio area. Funding was mostly provided by federal and state grants. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers avoid a no-hitter. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers got out of a no-hitter, but they lost to the Pirates yesterday 1-0 in front of 26,000 fans at American Family Field. Christian Yelich went 0-for-4 at the plate and talked about the Pirates' 22-year-old pitcher, Paul Skeens.
He's a good pitcher. It's good stuff, and he just did a good job pitching, honestly.
He retired 16 batters in a row. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Impressive all the way around. Secondary pitches, heater, command. Composure. Yeah, I thought he was great.
This Paul Skeens, who threw over 100 pitches, could start for the National League team next week at the All-Star Game. College football, last night at the ESPY Awards, Nick Saban honored with the Icon Award for his career as a head coach at LSU and Alabama.
You know, one thing that would help all of our spirit and all of our society is if we would just change one thing. Instead of coming up to somebody and saying, "How are you today?" why don't you say, "Who did you help today?"
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high of 85 this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear, 65. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warm and humid with scattered thunderstorms. Our high tomorrow, 88 with a heat index near 95. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We will replay Joe Biden in Madison last Friday and the Earl Ingram interview. Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with H-Wub.
If it came along, everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for this county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and my very special guest this morning, good friend, Lauren Victoria Burke. Hey, good morning to you, Lauren. How you doing?
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
All right. Let's do this. Sandy, why are you playing the music you're playing today? You're in charge of the music today.
So what's well, that one is pretty obvious, I think. I just have to listen to the lyrics. It applies to all kinds of situations, maybe the one we're going to talk about, but also Joe Biden's decision.
All right, so let me do a little background on my friend, Lauren Victoria Burke. She's a media owner, independent journalist, and strategic communicator. Ms. Burke is the owner of, are you still owner of Digital?
Digital Media
LLC, a media and crisis communications firm. She has worked in politics and media for over 20 years. And has appeared regularly on MSNBC, TV1, CNN. Ms. Burke has also been a contract photographer for the Associated Press. And you've been on Capitol Hill a long time.
Yeah, and I was there this week, which was crazy, as you know.
Yeah, and so, you know, you and I crossed paths many years ago. We built a great relationship, and I would have you on my show I forgot what day it was, but once a week.
Yeah, that's right.
And you brought up to the minute information on what was happening in Washington, D.C. So it's great to have you back on the airways with me. Thank you for helping me through this situation with some guidance and friendship. So what transpired here at Civic Media, for people who don't know, may not have heard, is that our operation, you know, Sandy put out a statement, and you can.
I think the subject that we're going to talk about is the one that's sort of the mini elephant in the room that relates to your interview of Joe Biden and the fact that there were questions sent by the campaign for you to ask, and that following the interview, the White House asked for the opportunity to make what seemed to be minor and insubstantial, not very substantial modifications to the transcript. But it's become a focus, and so I think it's and the radio station has come forth to discuss it, to point out the fact that while there weren't policies in the station at the time, there will be policies going forward, and to express their essentially apology to the public that maybe they didn't meet the public's expectation in that process.
So, Lauren, why has this been such a big deal?
Because everybody's jealous that you got a huge exclusive during a major story that they couldn't get. I mean, there's a lot of members of the Washington Press Corps who are calling you now, right, and writing about you that would have loved to have gotten that interview. That's number one. So when it was announced from the podium at the White House by the press secretary that two stations, relatively small but in very key and important swing states, Pennsylvania and, of course, Wisconsin, got these exclusive interviews before George Stephanopoulos, before ABC. Full disclosure, I worked at ABC News. I started there with Cokie Roberts and worked with George Stephanopoulos at that time, years ago in another life. But at any rate, they are jealous. I mean, they are jealous that you got this. And I think that there is a lack of appreciation more broadly for people who are effectively citizen journalists. Frankly, the Constitution really says anyone who says they're a journalist is a journalist. I mean, the First Amendment is really not judging. And we saw that in the case of Julian Assange and so many others. So there's jealousy there. And so everyone's analyzing it. And of course, everyone is analyzing what properly what the Bush, what the Biden White House is doing.
You know, I'll tell you, as you stated, and you told me that my phone line would stay red hot.
Right.
And it has. And mm-hmm. so the fact that, just a little local guy has garnered so much attention in our radio station, has garnered so much attention. You know, the talk was that last night this was going to be a big issue in these. And it was going to be, the question was going to be asked after President Biden, had his interview last night.
Right.
It didn't even come up.
No, it didn't. I think it is more likely to come up in the White House briefing room, though, because, again, the folks that have not gotten the exclusive huge interview that you got are going to be simmering about that. But with regard to the details around the questions and editing the questions, talking about questions before interviews are not unheard of. And it's actually interesting to go over the questions you'd asked, because I suspect you would have asked something very close to what was asked anyway. I mean, you're going to ask the President of the United States, what have you done for the local community, for Wisconsin, for Milwaukee? You're going to ask what happened at that debate, but the general issue, and any ethics issues related to that around going over questions, as somebody who's been a communications director for a statewide official in Virginia and a member of Congress, is not uncommon that people will say, hey, we want to go over these topics. So, but I thought, frankly, civic media, again, has done something that I cannot imagine any of these bigger news organizations doing, particularly CNN and the New York Times, which has been fully transparent and coming out and saying, hey, this is what happened. We're telling our listenership, this is what happened, and that's it. And it doesn't surprise me that there were no set rules. I can't speak, of course, for WURD, but apparently their owner is saying something about not having set rules as well, because we have a situation in journalism right now where local news is failing, and a lot of people have to step up who are not journalists, who have not been in journalism, have not worked at the ABC News and USA Today as I have, and been handed a best practices guide. There are people in the community who are trying to inform the community, such as you, Earl Ingram, about what is going on. And so it's not top of mind to be thinking about ethics when the President of the United States is calling. I totally get that moment and understand it.
Well, and and in the process, I mean, whether people get questions in advance directly and explicitly, but I think what is very common in journalism is for that producer to make the pre-interview call, and a decision is made by many journalists, and these are people who are journalists, as to whether they're going to have a softball interview or a hardball interview. And I just think that what we're doing now is splitting hairs with respect to this. But I think the station, correctly, has come forward to say, look, this isn't going to happen again. And we've made a decision based on looking at this in a bright light about how this should be handled.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Sandy. And also, it makes me think about things like, in Washington here, we have things like Maggie Haberman turning up in a court case, having been text messaging Michael Cohen, and Michael Cohen text message. Maggie Haberman's a writer for the New York Times, and a CNN contributor. And Michael Cohen, who was, of course, the former counsel to Donald Trump, you know, asking questions about, you know, texting her and saying, hey, start writing, I'll call you in a minute. And obviously a very close relationship. You know, there's a thing called access journalism, which is just a fancy way of saying, look, I'm going to be buddy-buddy with you to get the information I want. And there's very few full disclosures on things like that. We also had the Dominion court case involving Fox News, in which it was revealed that Tucker Carlson was effectively working as a PR hack for Donald Trump. I mean, that was just right out there. You think Fox News is going to come out and say, hey, we had an anchor that was working as a PR person for president of the United States? I mean, so the idea that there are ethics and standards written down in the journalistic industry is laughable to me. It is not like the legal profession or the medical profession. We have a very set standard of rules, and if you break them, you are punished or disbarred. Journalism is what the person who is practicing wants it to be so often. And these bigger news organizations that have standards vice presidents like CNN, they have a standards person in that job. I mean, I can't remember the last time they did anything like what Civic Media did yesterday. I mean, the idea that full transparency doesn't happen very often. So I think the station should be commended for that.
You know, to say that, Earl Ingram, this infamous guy, have I learned anything from this? I absolutely have. And more than anyone will ever know. Because, again, I'm a guy who, have not had any training in this. And it's on the job training for me. And so you learn and you realize that there are things sometimes when the president calls, I will not, all I know is to tell the truth, Lauren, and for the people in this audience.
Well, I was going to say that, the whole reason this has come forward is because, Earl, you are Earl, and you are that guy in that song who knows right from wrong. And you, and the fact is that there isn't a right from wrong here, but you were truthful in your answer. Regarding whether you got the questions in advance. And, this show is premised, I think, on the fact that you are a straightforward guy, straight shooter.
You know, and I will tell you, having friends like Lauren Victoria Burke and you, Sandy, and others, and a radio station that supports you is what it's about. So I can stand up against the behemoths, with Goliath's behind my back. I'm just a little guy, but certainly the fact that the radio station showed the intestinal fortitude and the strength to stand before the world and say, hey, we made a mistake and we're going to fix that. And then again, to support me in it, I owe a debt of gratitude to the station and the owner and the people who have the faith in me that I'm going to do what is best, and that's to continue to stand tall and tell the truth.
Yep, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So hang on, guys, 844-967-2789. My guess is my good friend Lauren Victoria Burke, all the way from Washington, D.C. on Capitol Hill, and Sandy Williams. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show, 844-967-2789 is the number.
You got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
The Republican National Convention is being held in Milwaukee, and it marks the first time the RNC is in the Badger State. But Wisconsin holds a special spot in the election cycle, with the RNC the second consecutive political convention in Milwaukee. The city was picked for the Democratic National Convention in 2020, but due to COVID, most of it ended up being virtual. Do you know which city has hosted the most political conventions? Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston? The answer coming up. Political conventions started in the 19th 19th century. It remained the main way to select candidates until 1972, when presidential primaries determined the eventual nominee. Conventions are now considered more of a celebration of the candidate. So do you know which city has held the most political conventions? Chicago. The Republicans have been there 14 times, and the Democratic convention will be hosted there for the 11th time this summer. 50,000 people expected at the RNC in Milwaukee, a nice slice of Wisconsin for the country to see. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and a really great reconnection with a really good friend, Lauren Victoria Burke, all the way from Washington, D.C. on Capitol Hill. Lauren, you and I are going to reconnect, and you're going to come back, and we're going to do something, you know, again.
Absolutely.
I am so excited about having Lauren Victoria Burke back in the saddle again on the Earl Ingram Show. I'll tell you, people don't know what they're going to be getting. Someone who's right there in the heart of the beast, who's dealing with this on a daily basis. Let me ask you, Lauren, about your thoughts on President Biden.
Mm-hmm.
And because people are saying we shouldn't be having the conversation, right? We are falling into the hands of the Republicans, and it's a trap. And why don't you guys just dummy up and not ask any questions about Joe Biden? These are Democrats.
Right. Well, I do think that people who are very mindful of what a second term of President Trump would bring are bringing up something that is extremely important. But in the fuller context, it is not an unserious issue. The obvious issues with the president's mental acuity, that is not a issue I think we can just ignore and pretend it's not there. Now, the way it's brought up is a completely different subject, particularly in the context of his opponent. You know, I mean, one of the major gripes I think a lot of people are having with the New York Times is that they're analyzing the president in a way that they'd never analyzed former President Trump. And there's a huge amount of irony there. You know, I don't think it's mutually exclusive. You can analyze both at the same time. You can even argue that they might be simply different things, that one is intentionally being outrageous or intentionally trying to point in the direction, obviously, with his policies and Project 2025, with ideas and policy that would effectively end our democracy. And the other is a suspected, alleged cognitive issue. So those things do both need to be covered. But it is amazing the amount of analysis that has gone into President Biden in the last 14 days, as opposed to what could have been going on with the same level of analysis for former President Trump.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right that there needs to be an analysis of both, and ultimately the most dangerous outcome is a Trump victory. Based on my analysis of Project 2025, I read the whole thing, and it's a horrifying prospect. Mm-hmm. And then, however, I guess my discussion this morning was that hopefully there will be a very serious analysis on the Democratic side of who it is that should be the nominee, who is the most electable, because it's not about whether somebody is capable of operating coherently next Thursday. The question really is, will they get elected next November?
And that's exactly right.
And so that's my concern, because electability is the fundamental issue here, and we ought not to have a personality contest or a question of loyalty pledges at this point. It's electability.
Let me ask you, Lauren, you've been there for a long time. You've been around a lot of different presidents, and you've watched a lot of different campaigns. And so when you watch this one and you see, you know, two people who are, you know, not exactly people give reasons and rationale. Well, we don't have any other choice, which we don't have. Got to vote for one or the other. But have you ever seen a campaign like the one that we're about to get into? And your thoughts about the fact that there are people who, in the face of the Republicans being controlled solely by one guy, right? Donald Trump and the Republicans all fall in line. But I wanted to ask you, when it comes to President Biden, and people say to me and they say to others, Joe Biden is the only person who can, you know, carry this message for the Democrats. No one else. We're hearing Democrats say this.
Yeah.
Does that give you pause? Have you ever seen anything like that?
Well, if you look from a historic standpoint, I mean, I majored in history at American University, and I got my degree in history. Everybody made fun of me. But if you look at the history, no brokered convention has ever yielded a winner. And the last two times the Democrats had incumbents who bowed out of the race, a Republican was elected. That would be Truman to Eisenhower and LBJ to Nixon. There's no history for what anyone is talking about. Now, this is a unique situation. As everybody knows, LBJ bowed out because of the Vietnam War. This is a cognitive issue. I don't think we've ever dealt with this in the history of the United States ever before. This is a challenging issue. We all have older relatives. He's 81 years old. That's understood. But I do think that if you look at the history, there was a Marist poll that came out, I think it was 2 hours ago, that showed that Biden is ahead by 1 point, which is pretty amazing. Marist PBS poll. You know, switching out an incumbent 170 days before an election is no small task. Switching out your presumptive nominee less than 50 days before a convention, the convention is next month in Chicago for the Democrats, is no small task. And people need to understand that. And even though he certainly has some challenges, I do think that people just need to understand the history behind what they're thinking that they can do in such a short period of time and what is likely to happen. He is the only person who has beaten former President Trump by 8 million votes. The Republican Party has not won a majority in 24 years, and those trends are unlikely to change, even with what we just saw.
Hey, Lauren, you're going to be at the Democratic convention?
Yes, I am.
We'll reconnect there.
Absolutely.
I'm so looking forward to having your eloquent voice grace these airways and on the Earl Ingram Show, and I just want people to get to know a little bit more about you. Tell us a little bit more about Lauren Victoria Burke before we, you know.
Well, I've worked in politics and in media, strangely, revolving the door a few times. So I've worked for a bunch of politicians, and I've worked for members of Congress, a statewide actor in Virginia, Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax, and I worked at ABC News and USA Today. And in another life, I was a contract photographer for the Associated Press, which is amazing. But that's sort of a hobby for me now, photography. But at any rate, I own my own media companies. I own a platform called Black Virginia News. It just covers a lot of the Black elected officials in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And I end up talking a lot about media ethics because the media is going through a historic transformation because of the technology. And frankly, there are no rules in that transformation. We have a ton of people in the industry who are citizen journalists who are learning the ropes, and people need to understand that. Earl, you've been doing a great job informing the community, and it is a pleasure and honor to be with you.
All right. That's wow. Did you look? If I didn't have a wife of 43 years, by the way, she's listening. Thank you very much, my friend.
Thank you. It's good to talk to you.
We'll be back in touch soon. 844-967-2789. The phone lines are open. You're tuned into a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show with my co-host, Sandy Williams.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A new state panel is tasked with considering the future of the universities of Wisconsin system. Member Betsy Morgan is also the provost at UW La Crosse. She says state universities need more money.
We no longer keep up with Quick Trip in terms of what we're able to pay our custodians. Does that make a difference? Yes. And I'm beginning to talk about keeping PhD faculty.
Among other things, there's talk of undoing the 1971 merger between UW-Madison and the rest of Wisconsin state schools. Quick Trip is opening its first distribution center outside La Crosse. Company officials broke ground on a 280,000-square-foot facility in DeForest just north of Madison this week. For now, Quick Trip supplies all its stores from one facility in La Crosse. 400 people will eventually work in DeForest. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Duluth City Council held its agenda session on Thursday with a heavy focus on new proposed public safety ordinances. The proposed ordinances would make offenses like outdoor camping on city property a misdemeanor charge, causing worry among some that the city doesn't have enough shelter space available for the unhoused population. According to a Northern News Now report, city officials say they would not be enforceable if there's no available shelter space. The council will hold a vote on Monday. Wisconsin's Republican Senate candidate Eric Hovde made a stop in Superior on Wednesday as part of his cross-state RV campaign trip. According to a WDIO report, Hovde focused on issues like the rising cost of living and health care issues at the Superior campaign stop. He is looking to unseat two-term incumbent Senator Tammy Baldwin in November's election. The RV tour, which Hovde has named the Restore the American Dream Road Trip, will take the Senate candidate to 28 counties across the state. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Okay, folks, let's keep that summer movie momentum going. Some really solid films open this weekend, although none of them hugely anticipated blockbusters, as we get a breather after the holiday weekend. If you're looking for a good horror story, check out Longlegs this weekend. The film is certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes and stars Nicolas Cage. If rom-coms are your thing, check out Fly Me to the Moon, starring Scarlett Johansson and Channing Tatum. Fly Me to the Moon is pulling a 65% on Rotten Tomatoes currently. Will we actually hear the classic song during the film? Fingers crossed. The drama Sing Sing, starring Coleman Domingo, has audiences and critics excited and is pulling very high ratings from both. The film is set in the famous prison and sees Domingo's character find theater during incarceration. That should be enough to get you started. Have a great weekend and have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high of 85 this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear, 65. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warm and humid with scattered thunderstorms. Our high tomorrow, 88 with a heat index near 95. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Monday through Friday. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Department of Children and Families.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue and democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area in hour number two, the Executive Director of Gathering Waters and Land Trust Days. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
We'll be right back.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. And Disco is alive.
I got
Sandy Williams.
Got my bell bottoms
on. Right. You know, it's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. I want to thank Lauren Victoria Burke. And I'm going to be excited to have her joining us weekly. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Earl, I got your back on this one. As far as your interview, I listened to it yesterday for the first time. It sounded like an infomercial. It did not sound like anything that you were trying to hide. So I don't know what the all big hoopla is about. Biden would talk for 3 or 4 minutes at a time. The only thing I was shocked about that you didn't interrupt them and start asking a question on something like you do with me all the time. I get 15 seconds out and you go, oh, Gary, come on. Come on.
You're running on 25 seconds now, Gary.
Hey, Gary, you aren't president of the United States, Gary.
Not yet.
Heck no.
Okay. You know, well, thank you. I mean, you know, it means you have civic media's back because, you know, that's what this is all about, man. This is about the civic media platform. And, you know, we're fledglings in the news arena for now, but we won't stay that way for long.
But, you know, Earl, when you and Sandy, before you guys go on air, I'm sure you guys talk about what you're going to talk about, right?
Not really.
I mean, you have a, oh, really?
No.
If I had the Gary from Sussex show and I had Sandy on my side, I would sit there and I'd say, okay, this is where our talking points are. I want you to ask me this question. We'll discuss that.
Well, so let me tell you, we don't do that. You know why? We don't want to be like every other show. We don't want to do that. Sandy and I have a great relationship. We're great friends outside of this. And so I don't call Sandy the night before or a week before and say, this is what we're going to talk about.
No, we certainly don't exchange questions.
Right.
We might talk about subjects, broad subjects.
And only when we show up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not the night before any of those things. And so I think that's why it works so well with Sandy and I. We just go back and forth with each other. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. How you doing, man?
Man, I went off and left my boots. And Sandy, I was all ready for the square dance.
yeah. Do you have your bell bottoms on, Al? Al, do you have your bell bottoms, the wide white belt? Huh?
Yeah, no. Yeah. He did some disco too.
Yeah.
When I heard that music this morning, I said, "Where's the square dance? Let me find my cowboy hat." Anyway, I wanted to just alert folks to an issue that happened yesterday with the RNC, and I called the mayor's office this morning about it. There were people, Caucasians, driving up and down King Drive, waving Confederate flags and yelling at people as they passed. And I got a little upset, so I called the police and asked them, why are they allowing this? Since they put up such a restrictive barrier to people coming to the downtown area, why aren't they protecting the community from this type of idiocy, which could incite a riot or other issues? And the guy was very terse with me on the phone, police sergeant, yesterday afternoon. But I called the mayor's office this morning and spoke with his assistant in regard to that, and they said they're going to have a conversation about it with the police department. But I think that everybody needs to know we live here. The police department is supposed to be protecting us. And when people come into our facility and city, we welcome them as long as they behave, just like they're trying to say, we can't go downtown and misbehave.
Al, let me ask you. Let me ask you a question. Has anything like that happened recently in the past? This, to be honest with you, if it hasn't, this strikes me, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all, like someone who is trying to incite a riot, incite something so that the news media will pick up something that will be advantageous to Republicans who are running on this law and order, you know, anti-crime, cities are dangerous kind of platform, because I'm not aware that anything like that has happened recently in your community, has it?
It happened yesterday.
No, I'm not saying before yesterday. I'm thinking that it happened yesterday for the very reason I'm describing, which was people willfully trying to incite people so that the news media next week would be covering something that would show how dangerous the city of Milwaukee is and cities are in general because of the reaction to it.
Well, you know, guys, what we do know is that Donald Trump has followers who are, you know, white nationalists. That's not a surprise, and we do know that white nationalists are going to be here in support of Donald Trump. Everywhere he goes, that exists.
I'm just saying I hope we don't take the bait. I'm just saying I think
so
this,
do I.
This sounds like bait, and I hope we don't take the bait.
So do I. Hey, Al, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Gene from Eau Claire. Hey, good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
Good morning. First of all, I want to say that you are one of the most, a man of integrity and honesty that I have ever heard on the radio, and I greatly respect you. Also, you know, having studied journalism at the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire, you know, a lot of times they send out interview or, you know, questions and things, you know, just a general structure. Because to keep focus and structure when you only have a short period of time. And also, you were interviewing the most important person in the United States of America that we have. And in addition to that, we all watched the attack on our government from January 6th all the way till today. So I wouldn't want to be in your seat, but I thought you did an outstanding job. I want to say that one thing, the person that just called Al, I hope people will please be careful. I agree that this could be bait, and please be careful, and don't yell at the people, because remember Kyle Rittenhouse, who got away literally with murder. Please, please protect each other. And, you know, hold signs. You don't even need to even converse with these awful people who are trying to bait people. And that's all I want to say. But, Earl, I love you. I think you're wonderful. Please keep up the great work. And I don't think there was a problem there in my own personal biased opinion. You have a good day.
Hey, Gene, it's always encouraging to hear your voice. And so all of you who think that I have something of value to say, I really appreciate it. Let's go back to Julie from Franklin. Julie, you're up.
Hi, Gene. I agree with everything Gene just said, especially about you and Sandy. For Al, don't take the bait. And it's just a bunch of, you know, I don't even know what you call people like that. But my sister has lived in Atlanta most of her adult life, and she has a phrase that I just love to repeat. Whenever we see the Confederate flag, she says, I don't know what the deal is down here, but they're so proud of that war they lost. So don't let it get to you, Al, because I believe people in America are good, deep down are good, and, it, you know, there's a such a small set of people that just don't even justify us talking about them.
Hey, Julie, thank you very much for the call. So, Sandy, let's talk about the convention that's here. It's here.
Yeah.
It kicks off on Sunday.
Day after tomorrow.
And our city is going to be before the world. And let's talk about what's going to happen with the convention. Not just the fact that they're here, but Donald Trump is going to pick a running mate. And he's certainly got some characters. You're shaking your head.
I shake my head. The options are many, but some of them are real head shaking. I mean, Ramaswamy.
Is he still in the running?
I don't know. He's pretending he is.
He's not. I haven't, you know.
Well, Donald has said it's down to two, but it's a secret. He says he hasn't told anyone who the two are.
Well, he was leading people to believe early on that possibly Tim Scott.
Well, he's
had this great shot.
Well, he understands he understands the benefit of having a secret, announcing you have a secret, and telling people you aren't going to tell them what your secret is. Because I can remember on the playground, that was a very good strategy for attention getting. You know, I've got a secret about you, bro, but I'm not going to tell you.
Can you imagine Senator Marco Rubio?
I know.
Donald Trump.
There's been talk about him being, I profess I have no capacity to try and project what goes on in Donald Trump's mind or what he'll do. My sense is that he won't want to have someone with apparent personal power. He'll want to put someone in the presidency who is ultimately very controllable. And so I don't know who that person is. I suspect it isn't Marco Rubio.
Well, Sue, if I was Marco Rubio and the things that he said about Marco Rubio publicly when Marco Rubio was a candidate and what he said and the way he treated Marco Rubio, why would you want that? Sandy, I don't know. Power must be intoxicating.
I believe it is. I think it's like a flame and a moth. I keep using that analogy, but this is typical. Anyone who's attracted to Donald Trump would be like a moth attracted to a flame. It's apparently irresistible and fatal.
Did they not see what a guy like Mike Pence, his last VP, how many times did he fall on the sword? How many times even after? Did he defend Donald Trump even when he knew what Donald Trump was saying was wrong and against his own principles? And in the end, Donald Trump did what he does to everybody else. He cast him aside as if this man was not worthy of his friendship.
Threw him to a curb, watched him being hung in effigy.
Yes.
I mean, well, like I said, I have no capacity to project. We'll find out, I guess, soon enough. And maybe too soon.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. Friday's my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The heat is on. Did you know that high temperatures are the leading cause of weather related deaths? Here are some safety tips when you're dealing with a Wisconsin scorcher. First, do not leave another person or your pet in the car. 8 kids died in hot cars in the last several years across the state, and it didn't even have to happen. Look before you lock and walk away.
Work outside, keep water close, and stay hydrated. Take a break in the shade. And if you can limit time in the heat, even better. Chill out in the air conditioning or find your community's cooling shelter. And check on your family and neighbors to be sure that they're safe too. Stay cool and be cool by being weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Sandy, I know her voice. Who is she?
It is Goji Grant.
Goji Grant.
No, that's not who I thought it was.
It was a big deal, but it was a long time ago.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. Last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. And Sandy, we're still standing.
Yeah.
You know,
so far.
Yeah. Let me ask you, the convention, and after this is done, in the twinkling of an eye, it'll be over. I heard the mayor repeat again, $200 million. They said, we're going to make $200 million. No city has ever been able to realize that.
Yeah, I think cities frequently go into these celebrated events. I think no city has ever made money off the Olympics. They spend a great deal of money and get a lot of attention. And there is a real intangible value to all the attention. And Milwaukee will get lots of attention. And the new version of Milwaukee is far different than the version that many people have in mind of a Rust Belt city that's all based on heavy duty, dirty manufacturing. Downtown Milwaukee is a completely different place than it was 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago. So I think the city is going to get a great deal of very positive attention based on all the camera play that will be around on the streets, the skyline, all about the city. But direct revenue, in-pocket revenue, I'll be very surprised. Most of the merchants are very afraid of it. The merchants who lie outside of the security zone have a fear that they'll basically just have to shut down during the time of this thing, and the ones who lie within the security zone are few and far between.
You know, Sandy, I saw some footage of what they've done downtown, and the barricades and the fences, they really are hideous looking. And they, as beautiful as it is down there, you got all that stuff up, and it kind of takes away the aesthetics.
Yeah, hopefully the networks will not be fascinated by all of that and will be more fascinated by the rest of the city. And I think it probably will get a bunch of attention because there's lots of dead time during a convention. You know, I went to a convention long ago, the 72 convention, and it actually had a purpose, political, in terms of decision-making about candidates, vice president, president. The current conventions are, other than maybe the Democratic convention, current conventions are really just all about publicity. Everything that's going to happen is a foregone conclusion, and it's just a week of a free ride on TV, and the viewerships might or might not be terribly large in terms of who sees it. But whoever does see it, I think, is hopefully going to get a very good impression about the city of Milwaukee.
You know, Sandy, the fact that Milwaukee is now, you know, kind of looked at as a destination place. Still pretty amazing, right?
Well,
it's happened so quickly.
And in fact, we are a big-time destination for conventions. It turns out we have a terribly convenient process for conventions. And the new Baird Center is a beautiful structure. It looks fantastic. It's going to get lots of good coverage. I think that conventions, long-term, the conventions are a very profitable process for cities to be hosting, and I think we will probably have a rash of conventions, new conventions that will start using Milwaukee as a center.
So I do, there's one hope, Sandy, that I have, and that's that even within the state of Wisconsin, in many of the places within the sound of our voices, that they realize what Milwaukee is, right? Yeah. Even in our own backyard, I think the misconceptions of what Milwaukee is has kept people who live in the state of Wisconsin kind of away.
Well, I remember you coming back from Baraboo saying, I've never been to Baraboo. What a spectacular place. And there are plenty of people from Baraboo and others who don't understand what is so good about the city of Milwaukee. I mean, the cities of a state are sort of the jewels in the crown, right? I mean, and the surrounding landscape is obviously the crown. And Wisconsin is a beautiful state with many, many, many beautiful small towns and larger towns. But Milwaukee necessarily is the jewel in the crown.
Yeah, you know, Sandy, I have to say to you publicly, again, the opportunities that I have received, especially here recently, nationally, attribute a lot of that to your and my relationship and the conversations that we have here. Unlike anywhere else, I've listened to a lot of radio in my life, and I've listened to radio for over 40 years. I still listen to radio. And there are not many who handle and the discussions, the magnitude of what you and I handle here on a daily basis. We may anger some people who may even be our supporters. But Sandy, it goes to show, it's the same thing that you said with what the Democrats have, and somebody, I think it was Mike from Kenosha. You got to have the discussion.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to have the discussion.
Well, I mean, the fact is that if it's on people's minds, we ought to be talking about it. We can't deny what people are obviously thinking about, what a whole lot of important people, those people who are going to pull the voting levers, what they're thinking is much more important than what party loyalists might be thinking, okay? Because they need to project. One of the big issues we have in our country, I think, is empathy and the ability to project to others. And particularly in politics, it's the most important attribute. You need to be able to empathize and project with Tom, Dick, and Mary.
And you need, and they need that information before they vote, right?
Absolutely.
Not after it's already happened. And then, you know. But anyway, thank you as always, my friend. I'll see you again on next Tuesday.
Yep.
Calvin, thank you, man, you know, for all the work you do. Could not do it without you. Thanks to Civic Media for the opportunity. Up next, Jane Mattner, Mattner on Air, and Greg Bott. Have a great weekend. Next time I talk to you guys, you know, the Republican convention will be in full effect.
And there's just one thing I'm sure of now. There's no fool like an old fool like me.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Lisa Hale, host of New Wisco Weekend, which premieres this Saturday. And it's Friday, which means Terry Barr drops in with great tunes and great conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Republican legislators continue to sit on $125 million that should be used right now to clean PFAS out of contaminated drinking water and groundwater across Wisconsin because they don't like the governor's line item vetoes, to which the proper legal response is, too bad, you don't have the votes. Stop being crybabies about it.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.